I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news from Seth Meyers. The House of Representatives voted on legislation to create an independent commission tasked with investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol. House Republicans are still claiming that there was no January 6th this year. Stephen Colbert, one person I was surprised to learn voted no on the measure, was Indiana Representative Greg Pence, who's Mike Pence's own brother. Certainly changes the meaning of this text from Greg that said, "Hey, bro, want to hang this weekend?" Kimmel, wow, that's really good. Kimmel, Republicans say a commission should only be established if it can investigate other protests, including the racial justice demonstrations last summer following the murder of George Floyd. Right, good thinking. There's got to be some way to blame black people for this, and you found it. Kimmel, some of these guys are also saying they want to move on and not rehash the past. Right, you know, when a violent mob attacked our embassy in Benghazi, Republicans in Congress investigated it 8 times. A violent mob attacks the U.S. Capitol, they're like, tourists, what are you going to do? Seth Meyers, okay, first of all, describing it as people without firearms coming into a building leaves out a lot of crucial context. It's like writing a book report about the Great Gatsby that says, man enjoys summer in the Hamptons, Seth. Also, it's a lie. There were weapons, as the Justice Department, reporters, and videos have all documented. But even if the statement were true, it's not very comforting. If a group of criminals breaks into your house with some baseball bats, smashes all your belongings, and steals all your money, it wouldn't exactly make you feel better if the cops were like, hey, there are worse things in life. Eric Trump's out there just hugging people in the street. Switching topics, according to the New York Times, Bill Gates's questionable behavior with female colleagues has long raised eyebrows. On multiple occasions, the New York Times says, Bill Gates romantically pursued women who worked with him at Microsoft and at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Stephen Colbert said, that is bold to pursue an affair at an office literally named after your marriage. Baby, don't even think about Melinda or look at the building or the stationery or our website or your W-2 or Melinda, who's also in the meeting. That's great. Colbert continued, but like the majority of troubled marriages, the number one source of the conflict was hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah, apparently Gates met Epstein dozens of times starting in 2011 and continuing through 2014, Colbert. That's after Epstein's sex crimes were known to the public, although maybe Gates didn't know anything about Epstein because he looked him up on Bing. Jimmy Kimmel commented on the pipeline hack, reminding us, if you mess with America, you'll get $5 million. Kimmel added, the pipeline is back up and running. A gas crisis has been averted for the time being, but we do have a shortage of dipping sauce. Kimmel said, if you're looking for a president to blame for a dipping sauce shortage, this is your guy. He showed a picture of Donald Trump at the White House McDonald's buffet. Trevor Noah also described the pipeline attack, saying, thankfully, it's looking like America will get back to burning as much fossil fuel as it wants. The bigger problem is that America's vulnerability to ransomware is here to stay. Oh man, this is terrible. These hackers aren't just forcing people to pay money. They're forcing them to learn about Bitcoin. That's the real crime. Apparently, do-it-yourself ransomware kits available on the dark web start for as little as $39. Trevor Noah said, that's like nothing, although to be fair, that's probably the version that has ads, right? Like you can shut down America's infrastructure, but every 10 minutes you have to watch that stupid Emu commercial. I get that it's difficult for the government to regulate the internal security of private companies, but the solution to ransomware can't be to put the entire country into airplane mode. I mean, no one even does that on airplanes. Conan O'Brien tweeted the cicada to-do list. Number one, emerge. Number two, make noise. Chris Rock was on with Jimmy Fallon. He talked about doing stand-up during the pandemic and mentioned seeing John Mulaney the other night. Yeah, Rock was on the show. Chris Rock had some advice for John Mulaney, saying, this is how much money I lost in my divorce. I recommended my ex-wife's divorce lawyer. I was like to John Mulaney, your guy should get this guy. He'll get you your money. Chris Rock added, I walked out with nothing. I couldn't even afford the tickets to Mulaney's show. From The Hollywood Reporter, Adult Swim is harnessing the streaming prowess of its original fare with 4 short-form spin-offs from beloved titles like Rick and Morty, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Robot Chicken, and Pretty Face is Going to Hell. All 4 new series are based on characters from or inspired by the 4 shows. Each mini spin-off will consist of between 8 and 10 episodes. The Rick and Morty spin-off is called The Vindicators. Answer the Vinda Beacon and join your old pals Supernova, Vance Maximus, Alan Rails, Crocubot, and Noob Noob as they fight crime, avert genocides, and yuck it up without Rick and Morty. Another show is Alabama Jackson, starring Donald Faison as a smooth-talking time traveler who lands in exactly the wrong place at the wrong time every time. If he can survive the past long enough to get back to the present, he just might find something he wasn't looking for himself. That sounds like it'd be fun. Faison will probably crush that. Aquadonk Side Pieces is the long-awaited continuation of the beloved Adult Swim animated series Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Fans will be bestowed with the gift of learning what happens in the later lives of various side characters and villains, such as the Moonanites, the Plutonians, MCP Pants, the Frat Aliens, Happy Time Harry, Hand Banana, and the cybernetic ghost of Christmas Past. And the fourth show is Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, the animated series. Hell is eternal, and so is the beloved Emmy-nominated cult show Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. It returns for a fifth season, this time animated. Cruel boss Satan, bumbling demon Gary, and all your other favorites return in America's beloved workplace comedy set in hell. Kumail Nanjiani will play Chippendale's founder Soman Steve Bonjury in Hulu's Immigrant series. Who saw this coming? Kumail going from playing nerdy guys, now he's going to be in the Eternals, and now he's playing a Chippendale's founder? The 8-episode limited series will tell the, quote, insane, darkly comedic, crime-ridden story behind the unique male review that became a cultural phenomenon. Banjari was an Indian-American entrepreneur who struck gold in 1979 when he added a male stripper dance troupe for female audiences to the lineup at his L.A. nightclub. But Banjari's legacy is shrouded in scandal hours before he was sentenced in 1994 for having his business partner killed. Banjari died by suicide. He was also indicted for plotting to kill some former Chippendale dancers he allegedly considered a threat. From the Daily Mail, Tom Allen has revealed that he's finally moved out of his parents' home at the age of 37. He was on UK talk show Lorraine, and he joked that his mom and dad had thrown him out, happily waved him off. He admitted he's yet to fill his new home with furniture and simply had an array of plastic plants to decorate his home. He said, "I've moved out. I've got my own place. Look how happy they are. That's them waving me off." He referred to the foliage behind him on the screen, saying, "I don't live in a garden center if that's what it looks like. I am not in a garden center. I just got all the plastic flowers I bought in IKEA and shoved it in the background so it doesn't look too plain." The AV Club caught up with Tig Notaro, and they were like, "Hey, Tig Notaro, you do have a wide-ranging career. You're a stand-up comedian who's been in movies and TV shows and created and starred in your own show. You're an author and a podcaster. And what's it like to have people view this kind of breakout moment where you've been at this for a while?" Tig Notaro said, "I feel like in careers, you have your different moments where it just seems there's so many different little moments. Even when I was doing stand-up and open mics, I felt like just getting into that felt like a breakout moment. You know what I mean? Starting in TV, it felt like, it's just a different way you look at things. I don't really know. I can't imagine my life is going to change that much now," because she's in a movie, "because I have all these little breakout or breakthrough moments." AV Club said, "There's also the ongoing public acknowledgement of sexy AF Tig. You were even on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon to talk about it." Tig said, "Yeah, it's old news that I'm sexy AF. My wife says, where's everybody been?" AV Club, "I do think it's interesting because on the one hand, it's not surprising. You were basically playing a heartthrob on the Sarah Silverman program 10 years ago. Tig, I'm sure Sarah fell asleep watching people talk about me on Twitter. She was like, please, this is old. As for me, I'll be in the basement Googling Tig Notaro sex." From Paste Magazine, what's going on in Austin? Out-of-town transplants bring unwelcome attitudes to a thriving local comedy scene. I talked the other day at length about the Peng Dang Tony Hinchcliffe incident. Say that three times fast. This was take three. I'm not doing that again. That's too hard to say. Like everything in comedy, this incident did not occur in a vacuum. Until recently, Hinchcliffe was based in L.A., where he could be seen at the Comedy Store. His presence in Austin reflects an ongoing migration of comics led by Joe Rogan, quote, the millionaire super spreader, unquote, who famously relocated to the city earlier this year. Rogan said on his podcast he hopes to turn Austin into a comedy utopia. The thing is, many Austin-based comics would argue that the city already is a comedy utopia. I'm turning into frustrated Jerry Seinfeld. Should I just do the whole article? Is that? The thing is, many Austin-based comics would argue the city already is a comedy utopia with a vital, diverse scene full of talented artists who routinely go on to great things, some in the scene, especially those who laid low during the pandemic while others moved in and performed live shows via the arrival of comics from LA and New York City as a potential source of division in the inclusive community they built, if not yet a real one. To help unpack all this, Pace Magazine spoke to Austin comedian Karina Magyar. "Hey, Karina, what'd you think of the Tony Hinchcliffe video?" Karina said, "Shock. In a sense, anybody would be shocked seeing somebody go on stage and say those words. I was not surprised, knowing everything I know about Tony Hinchcliffe. It sort of confirmed my worst fears about what kind of energy was coming to the scene. I was analyzing the audience, basically wondering, how did that go over? Because the Austin I know, that wouldn't fly. And I felt like it didn't fly, but in a way that the audience could handle. You're not going to boo somebody who you think is famous. So just the quieting down to me was the equivalent of booing. So I was like, okay, that's good. Pace said, can you tell us what Austin was like before the pandemic? Karina said, this was a crazy bursting with talent scene. Lots and lots of activity. Lots of huge names coming out of it. We're just about to be huge. We had pumped out in the 3 years leading up to the pandemic. A lot of names that were on the cusp were now starting to get national attention. They're probably names you know one or the other, but I'm talking about LaShonda Lester, Keith Barbadoro, Vanessa Gonzalez, Daniel Webb, Maggie May, Martin Urbano, and Jake Flores. I'm going to jump in here and suggest that Karina may think these people are a little more famous than they are just yet. I'm sure they're wonderful, but I've been reading news stories about comedy for years. These names are new to me. I don't know everything. Back to Karina talking about Austin saying, we're not interested in cultivating some sort of, hey, we're going to be super aggressive and racist and misogynistic, and that's comedy, deal with it scene. We know that has circulated in certain parts of the LA and New York scenes, particularly around Creek in the Cave, Legion of Skanks, or Joe Rogan's Orbit. So when we saw all those coming to town, there was some apprehension for sure. Boy, this sounds like it's going to be a little battle in Austin between the old crew and the new crew. All these people from LA and New York started moving in and throwing shows, taking up venues that nobody had ever done comedy at before and putting on live comedy shows before it was safe to do so. While all the Austin comedians were still diligently staying home, you can imagine that bred a certain level of contempt, shock, and anger. Not because we knew any of these people, we had no idea who they were, but it was like, what are you doing? We're all riding this out like we're supposed to. So that was one kind of prevailing attitude, or at least that's the one I was most familiar with during the quarantine. Karina says, I don't have anything in particular personal against Joe Rogan. I'm aware that he's transphobic, so I just avoid him. I don't really care. Maybe he's a nice guy. I don't really give a hoot. I will say the same thing I said on stage about that, which is Austin always had a reputation as a place where Hollywood people can go and not be bothered. So it's a little disconcerting there was such a hullabaloo. Oh, Joe Rogan. Why? Who cares? It's just another dude who moved to town. We're used to it. Be cool, you know? Sounds like that's going to be a good old-fashioned comedy kerfluffle. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. If you like what I do here, you can support the show. Throw $5 in the tip jar at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. See you tomorrow.